Ministry of Education, Sport and Youth. Higher Education. Pan Cyprian Examinations 2026. Part 1. Listening Skills. Task 1. You will hear 5 short recordings. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C. You will hear each recording twice. Now, you have 1 minute to look at the questions. Recording 1.
What are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to the flower festival with my parents. You're going to the music festival then, aren't you? I heard they've got some fantastic bands this year and are expecting thousands of visitors.
Yes, that's right. My friend's father is organising the event, so we've got free tickets.
Lucky you.
Yes, but we've both got to help. My friend's got to check tickets and he's asked me to take photos, but I don't mind doing that.
Now you will hear the recording again.
What are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to the flower festival with my parents. You're going to the music festival then, aren't you? I heard they've got some fantastic bands this year and are expecting thousands of visitors.
Yes, that's right. My friend's father is organising the event, so we've got free tickets.
Lucky you.
Yes, but we've both got to help. My friend's got to check tickets and he's asked me to take photos, but I don't mind doing that.
Recording 2.
Welcome to the Tutankhamun exhibition. Thanks to the Egyptian Museum in Cairo, we have the original burial mask, and it's very rare for this to be removed from its resting place. All the scarab beetles in the glass case were found near Tutankhamun's body. In ancient Egypt, these represented rebirth. Look at that lovely bronze beetle. The gold one with the long legs really grabbed my attention, though. I love this one.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Welcome to the Tutankhamun exhibition. Thanks to the Egyptian Museum in Cairo, we have the original burial mask, and it's very rare for this to be removed from its resting place. All the scarab beetles in the glass case were found near Tutankhamun's body. In ancient Egypt, these represented rebirth. Look at that lovely bronze beetle. The gold one with the long legs really grabbed my attention, though. I love this one.
Recording 3.
Have you done the music homework?
Yes, I used this fantastic website.
What, the one the teacher gave us the link for? It was a really good site.
I'm sure it was, but I lost it. Fortunately, my brother had used this other one at some point, so I had a look at that and found just what I needed.
Lucky you. So, did you write about the trumpet like you said you would?
The website had information on so many different instruments that I kept changing my mind. I ended up doing my essay on the violin, but only after I'd spent ages finding out about the piano.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Have you done the music homework?
Yes, I used this fantastic website.
What, the one the teacher gave us the link for? It was a really good site.
I'm sure it was, but I lost it. Fortunately, my brother had used this other one at some point, so I had a look at that and found just what I needed.
Lucky you. So, did you write about the trumpet like you said you would?
The website had information on so many different instruments that I kept changing my mind. I ended up doing my essay on the violin, but only after I'd spent ages finding out about the piano.
Recording 4.
I was awarded first prize in an international photography competition last month. Up to then, I'd usually concentrated on taking pictures of buildings, though I'm pretty good at landscapes too. So I suppose people who knew me were surprised when the photos I was successful with were of racing cars. It was quite a challenge, though, mainly because of the bad light on that day. I was in a good position, and the crowd around me and all the people pushing and shoving didn't prevent me from getting some great shots and unusual angles.
Now you will hear the recording again.
I was awarded first prize in an international photography competition last month. Up to then, I'd usually concentrated on taking pictures of buildings, though I'm pretty good at landscapes too. So I suppose people who knew me were surprised when the photos I was successful with were of racing cars. It was quite a challenge, though, mainly because of the bad light on that day. I was in a good position, and the crowd around me and all the people pushing and shoving didn't prevent me from getting some great shots and unusual angles.
Recording 5.
Good morning, sir. How can I help you?
Well, I was travelling on the delayed 6 o'clock flight from Tokyo yesterday. We had to wait for 3 hours and didn't leave until 9:40 last night.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir. We usually offer food vouchers to customers who have their flight cancelled or delayed for more than 2 hours. Did you receive them?
Yes, and I appreciated them. But because of this delay, I missed my connecting flight, which I sort of expected. But it was the limited information that I'm really not happy about.
I can only apologise on behalf of the airline.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Good morning, sir. How can I help you?
Well, I was travelling on the delayed 6 o'clock flight from Tokyo yesterday. We had to wait for 3 hours and didn't leave until 9:40 last night.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir. We usually offer food vouchers to customers who have their flight cancelled or delayed for more than 2 hours. Did you receive them?
Yes, and I appreciated them. But because of this delay, I missed my connecting flight, which I sort of expected. But it was the limited information that I'm really not happy about.
I can only apologise on behalf of the airline.
That is the end of task 1. In a moment, you will hear task 2. Task 2. You will hear 5 people talking about pocket money. For each of speakers 1 to 5, choose from the list, A to F, which opinion each speaker expresses. Write the letter in the box. Use each letter only once. There is one extra letter, which you do not need to use. You will hear the recordings twice. Now, you have 1 minute to look at the questions. Speaker 1.
When I was growing up, I didn't get any pocket money whatsoever. If I wanted to buy something, I had to ask my parents. If they thought I needed it, they'd give me some money. And if I didn't, that was that. I hated having to try to persuade them all the time. So I've gone for the opposite approach with my kids. They get a regular amount each week, and they understand there'll be no more until the next week, so they don't spend it all at once.
Speaker 2.
It's funny how my sister and I are so different with our money, even though our parents treated us the same way. When we got our pocket money each week, I'd go straight to the shops to get the latest comic, and sweets, of course. My sister would put her money away and keep it for something she really wanted later on. Even though I got more than her, because she's younger than me, I still spent it all. My sister definitely got it right. She's much better at coping financially than me now.
Speaker 3.
People say that children should earn their pocket money, you know, doing things like tidying their bedroom or washing the car, and that way they learn the value of hard work. Actually, I think that children should be doing those things at home anyway, without having to be paid for it. Don't get me wrong, I think pocket money's a good thing, as it helps children learn to look after themselves. I'm certainly not saying they shouldn't get any money at all.
Speaker 4.
I'm useless with money. My wages never seem to last me very long, and it's not because I don't earn enough. I just spend it all. I'm sure that if I'd had to ask my parents if it was okay to buy things when I was younger, I would have learned to control my spending better. I can't believe the rubbish my brother and I used to buy with our pocket money. I don't understand why our parents never encouraged us to be more careful with it.
Speaker 5.
I get a fixed amount of pocket money each month. It's not much, and way less than some of my friends get. And I don't really understand why, but they constantly seem to be running out of cash and asking for extra. I guess because they have lots to start with, they just think it'll last. Then when it's gone, they expect more. I'm not saying they should just save their money, but they should learn to hold on to it a bit longer at least.
Now you will hear the five speakers again. Speaker 1.
When I was growing up, I didn't get any pocket money whatsoever. If I wanted to buy something, I had to ask my parents. If they thought I needed it, they'd give me some money. And if I didn't, that was that. I hated having to try to persuade them all the time. So I've gone for the opposite approach with my kids. They get a regular amount each week, and they understand there'll be no more until the next week, so they don't spend it all at once.
Speaker 2.
It's funny how my sister and I are so different with our money, even though our parents treated us the same way. When we got our pocket money each week, I'd go straight to the shops to get the latest comic. And sweets, of course. My sister would put her money away and keep it for something she really wanted later on. Even though I got more than her, because she's younger than me, I still spent it all. My sister definitely got it right. She's much better at coping financially than me now.
Speaker 3.
People say that children should earn their pocket money, you know, doing things like tidying their bedroom or washing the car, and that way they learn the value of hard work. Actually, I think that children should be doing those things at home anyway, without having to be paid for it. Don't get me wrong, I think pocket money's a good thing, as it helps children learn to look after themselves. I'm certainly not saying they shouldn't get any money at all.
Speaker 4.
I'm useless with money. My wages never seem to last me very long, and it's not because I don't earn enough. I just spend it all. I'm sure that if I'd had to ask my parents if it was okay to buy things when I was younger, I would have learned to control my spending better. I can't believe the rubbish my brother and I used to buy with our pocket money. I don't understand why our parents never encouraged us to be more careful with it.
Speaker 5.
I get a fixed amount of pocket money each month. It's not much, and way less than some of my friends get. And I don't really understand why, but they constantly seem to be running out of cash and asking for extra. I guess because they have lots to start with, they just think it'll last. Then when it's gone, they expect more. I'm not saying they should just save their money, but they should learn to hold on to it a bit longer at least.
That is the end of task 2. In a moment, you will hear task 3. Task 3. You will hear a talk about the history of origami. Listen to the talk and look at the questions. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C. You will hear the recording twice. Now you have 1 minute to look at the questions.
The origins of origami, or Japanese paper folding, are difficult to establish, as original pieces of the art form have long since disappeared. Paper was introduced to Japan around the 6th century, and it's believed that Japan's tradition of folding paper began shortly after that. Paper was expensive to make, and for the next 1,000 years, paper folding was largely used in religious ceremonies. However, papermaking was one of the industries that grew rapidly during the Edo period, between 1603 and 1868, making paper widely available in Japan and inspiring more informal uses of origami. One early example of origami was known as noshi, an arrow shape, which was a symbol of good fortune and which people gave as presents. The first known representative origami were butterfly shapes, used for decoration at weddings and representing the bride and groom. An independent tradition of paper folding developed in Europe in the 11th or 12th century in Germany and Spain. This is thought to have come from the tradition of styling napkins. This was done before mealtimes as displays for the table. Eventually, paper folding made its way into European schools, where it was used in math lessons to teach children about geometry. When the same kind of school system was adopted in Japan, it was German paper folding that was taught to young pupils. As a result, modern Japanese origami is a combination of Japanese and European traditions. The modern popularization of Japanese origami is largely due to an origami artist called Akira Yoshizawa. He is credited with tens of thousands of original designs and a new system which used dashed lines and dots to indicate different kinds of folds, known as mountains and valleys. In 1954, he published a book of his designs called New Origami Art, which became the standard of Japanese paper folding. Nowadays, origami typically uses a single sheet of paper to create representative shapes such as birds or flowers. Other techniques allow cutting or involve multiple sheets of paper. A technique called modular origami uses multiple shapes to create a larger construction, and what's known as wet folding allows the creation of shapes which are more circular. Action origami refers to toy-like origami such as jumping frogs. There is no single correct form, and people continue to pass down both long-standing designs and new creations as the art develops and adapts to modern interests.
Now you will hear the recording again.
The origins of origami, or Japanese paper folding, are difficult to establish, as original pieces of the art form have long since disappeared. Paper was introduced to Japan around the 6th century, and it's believed that Japan's tradition of folding paper began shortly after that. Paper was expensive to make, and for the next 1,000 years, paper folding was largely used in religious ceremonies. However, papermaking was one of the industries that grew rapidly during the Edo period, between 1603 and 1868, making paper widely available in Japan and inspiring more informal uses of origami. One early example of origami was known as noshi, an arrow shape, which was a symbol of good fortune and which people gave as presents. The first known representative origami were butterfly shapes, used for decoration at weddings and representing the bride and groom. An independent tradition of paper folding developed in Europe in the 11th or 12th century in Germany and Spain. This is thought to have come from the tradition of styling napkins. This was done before mealtimes as displays for the table. Eventually, paper folding made its way into European schools, where it was used in math lessons to teach children about geometry. When the same kind of school system was adopted in Japan, it was German paper folding that was taught to young pupils. As a result, modern Japanese origami is a combination of Japanese and European traditions. The modern popularization of Japanese origami is largely due to an origami artist called Akira Yoshizawa. He is credited with tens of thousands of original designs and a new system which used dashed lines and dots to indicate different kinds of folds, known as mountains and valleys. In 1954, he published a book of his designs called New Origami Art, which became the standard of Japanese paper folding. Nowadays, origami typically uses a single sheet of paper to create representative shapes such as birds or flowers. Other techniques allow cutting or involve multiple sheets of paper. A technique called modular origami uses multiple shapes to create a larger construction, and what's known as wet folding allows the creation of shapes which are more circular. Action origami refers to toy-like origami such as jumping frogs. There is no single correct form, and people continue to pass down both long-standing designs and new creations as the art develops and adapts to modern interests.
That is the end of task 3. In a moment, you will hear task 4. Task 4. You will hear a talk about book boats. Listen to the talk and complete the details below. Write one or two words, or a number in each gap. You will hear the recording twice. Now you have 1 minute to look at the questions.
Welcome to this evening's talk, part of our regular series about how different countries are encouraging young people to read. Our speaker is Chloe, who lives and works in Laos, in Southeast Asia.
Hello. I work for an organisation that improves the education and opportunities of young people in Laos. We have two slogans that really sum up what we try to do. First, forming futures. Second, opening minds. For me, it's the first of these that's the most important. Our work faces many challenges. Schools can be quite basic, so one of our approaches is to help local people build new or better schools, and we help to train them as teachers. Most people in Laos inhabit remote rural areas. Also, roads are often impassable during the hot, rainy season, which lasts from May until November, so transport by car or lorry is a problem for about half the year. Luckily, communication is always possible via satellite. All the problems limit what we can do. Because of the climate, construction work can only take place during the drier season, December to April. November is a particularly hectic time for us, as we are busy preparing materials and loading our trucks. But I've come to talk to you mainly about our new project. I work with the people who live in more than 100 small villages along the banks of the Mekong River. We have set up two floating libraries, boats that each carry more than 1,000 books. There are no other ways of getting books, like bookshops or colleges or resource centres. Over 10,000 Lao children depend totally on these boats for access to books. Let me tell you about a typical visit of the book boat. It usually arrives in the village in the morning. The children go aboard to choose books, then sit nearby and read intently. The boat stays overnight at the village, and children continue to borrow books well past dark. They have to read by candlelight because there are no electric lights or gas lamps in their homes. In the morning, the books are collected, and the boat goes to the next village. The boats do not just bring books. The boat staff organise active learning games for part of the day. These games are designed to emphasise the importance and fun of reading, as well as teaching life skills, such as the importance of cleanliness and hand washing. The staff also encourage the preservation of the local culture through teaching traditional dancing and singing. There are, of course, the normal celebrations throughout the year that the children enjoy, but the book boat visits are still a highlight for them. Looking ahead, we hope to expand our programme by buying two more boats, if funding is available. We had hoped to find sponsors, but we haven't made much progress in that direction yet. If you are interested in helping us, you could visit our website for more information.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Welcome to this evening's talk, part of our regular series about how different countries are encouraging young people to read. Our speaker is Chloe, who lives and works in Laos, in Southeast Asia.
Hello. I work for an organisation that improves the education and opportunities of young people in Laos. We have two slogans that really sum up what we try to do. First, forming futures. Second, opening minds. For me, it's the first of these that's the most important. Our work faces many challenges. Schools can be quite basic, so one of our approaches is to help local people build new or better schools, and we help to train them as teachers. Most people in Laos inhabit remote rural areas. Also, roads are often impassable during the hot, rainy season, which lasts from May until November, so transport by car or lorry is a problem for about half the year. Luckily, communication is always possible via satellite. All the problems limit what we can do.
Because of the climate, construction work can only take place during the drier season, December to April. November is a particularly hectic time for us, as we are busy preparing materials and loading our trucks. But I've come to talk to you mainly about our new project. I work with the people who live in more than 100 small villages along the banks of the Mekong River. We have set up 2 floating libraries, boats that each carry more than 1,000 books. There are no other ways of getting books, like bookshops or colleges or resource centres. Over 10,000 Lao children depend totally on these boats for access to books. Let me tell you about a typical visit of the book boat. It usually arrives in the village in the morning. The children go aboard to choose books, then sit nearby and read intently. The boat stays overnight at the village, and children continue to borrow books well past dark. They have to read by candlelight because there are no electric lights or gas lamps in their homes. In the morning, the books are collected and the boat goes to the next village. The boats do not just bring books. The boat staff organise active learning games for part of the day. These games are designed to emphasise the importance and fun of reading, as well as teaching life skills, such as the importance of cleanliness and hand washing. The staff also encourage the preservation of the local culture through teaching traditional dancing and singing. There are, of course, the normal celebrations throughout the year that the children enjoy, but the book boat visits are still a highlight for them. Looking ahead, we hope to expand our programme by buying 2 more boats, if funding is available. We had hoped to find sponsors, but we haven't made much progress in that direction yet. If you are interested in helping us, you could visit our website for more information.
That is the end of task 4 and of the listening part of the exam.